Chapter 2. Styles spends the weekend fussing over his father, who really requires no fussing whatsoever. They don't leave Beacon Hills until late Sunday afternoon, almost 4 o'clock. "How's your cousin doing?" Scott asks, as soon as Allison gets out of the front seat of her father's car. They're gathering at the den so they can caravan back to San Francisco, as they always do. It's not strictly necessary, but it makes Styles feel better, because he's always paranoid that somebody will accidentally get left behind. "Not too bad," Allison says. "He's terrified of his parents finding him here, for which I don't particularly blame him."
Scott grimaces. "What's going to happen if they show up?"
"They'll hide Phil somewhere, and my dad will pretend not to know anything about it," Allison says. "Will that work? I don't know. Maybe."
Chris shakes his head a little, exiting the car. "Got a few minutes?" he asks Styles. "Might as well give you an update while we're here."
"Update on what exactly?" Styles asks.
"Just the general state of things," Chris says, but then he sighs. "I talked to Mikhail. His physical therapy is going well, but Stella's guys are crossing his borders and being a pain in his ass. He's going to bring the hammer down on them if he has to, and it won't be pretty. If he needs backup, I might have to go up there."
"Great!" Styles pushes his hand through his hair. "What else?"
"A couple of ogres cross from Illinois to Iowa, seeking refuge on the Winchester's land," Chris says. "This was apparently before Phil ran away, because Henry was involved. He tried to follow them. Hannah Winchester came down from on high to tell him to keep off. She actually called every hunting family leader to issue her decree that she's not going to tolerate murder on her land, whether it's committed by a human or a werewolf. To quote, 'I don't want your damn war, so keep it off my land.'"
"Well, could be worse," Styles says, grimacing.
"Yeah, Henry's mood probably wasn't improved when he came home and found that his remaining son had vanished." Chris shakes his head. "On the upside, that might draw him back into his territory sooner."
"Yeah, we should be so lucky," Styles says.
"Listen, I was thinking about all this. Does it seem to you like we're playing this too defensively?" Chris shakes his head. "I know what you mean, but you know we can't take the offensive without too many neutral hunters taking the other side."
"I know, I really do," Styles says. "But the problem is, they know that too. They're just going to keep chipping away at us, and eventually we will lose enough numbers that we'll be vulnerable. I'm just saying, maybe we can't go on the offensive, but maybe we can respond more aggressively when threatened."
"Maybe. I'll talk to Julian about it," Chris says. "Anyway, I'm sure you have other things to worry about."
"Yeah," Styles says with a sigh.
"Okay, keep me posted."
The others are starting to arrive, so they get their things together and head out. He gets a text from Chris about an hour later, but doesn't notice it until they're in San Francisco and debating what to order for dinner. It reads,
"Henry's on his way."
Styles rolls his eyes and goes back to talking about dinner and studying for the anatomy quiz he has the next day.
"You know, I had a thought," Derek says,
sitting next to him and absently rubbing his back while he studies and eats samosas.
"Let's say that Chris tells Henry that he hasn't seen Phil. Even if Henry believes him, he's still going to think that Phil went to Beacon Hills. He's just going to think that we're hiding him instead of Chris."
"Dude can think whatever he wants," Styles says, chewing on a pencil.
"Yeah, well, he can't do whatever he wants. What if he tries to break into the den?"
Styles does look up at this and cracks a smile. "Think he'd manage it if given a second try? Or would he fall right back into that same pit?"
"He's not that stupid," Derek says, rolling his eyes. "Anyway, what I was going to say was, if he insists on checking it out, I'd rather Chris just let him in and show him around."
"You think?" Styles asks.
The rest of the pack look over at this, not interrupting, but interested. If Chris acts as his escort, or one of us goes back to town so we can act as his escort, then we know he won't break anything trying to get in, and we'll be able to make sure he doesn't hide wolfsbane under all our beds, Derek says.
That does sound like a sensible precaution, Lydia remarks.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, Styles says with a sigh. Chris can't get into the house proper, though. We gave him the keys to the gate, but not to the house itself. Maybe you and Erica could go back, since you two don't have classes? He adds, and they both nod in agreement. Okay, I'll text Chris to let him know that if Henry wants to take a look at the den to make sure his kid isn't there, we'll let him have a look as long as he's willing to wait for us.
It's getting late. You want to leave now?
Erica asks, leaning over to rub her cheek against Derek's temple.
Probably better if we do, Derek says with a nod. If we can get there before Henry, it'll be easier for everyone.
Keep me posted, Styles says, and Erica tosses off a jaunty salute. Derek's intuition turns out to be exactly correct. Henry sneers at Chris's statement that he hasn't seen Phil and has no idea where he is. He insists on searching the Argent household and then says that they're probably hiding him at the den. Chris is smart enough to let him demand to go there rather than offering it.
If we offer, he'll know we were prepared for it.
He texted Styles during their conversation. So they show up at the den and he knocks on the door until Derek answers it, dressed in pajamas and looking like he had been in bed. Derek protests and growls and blocks their way into the house, insisting on calling Styles before he'll let them in.
Those asshole Argents are here. Something about their other kid running away from home and thinking we're hiding him.
He snarls into the phone. Styles tries not to laugh and stays on the phone while Derek follows them around the house, making them uncomfortable.
This is even worse than when Agent Douchebag came to town, he says to Styles.
They can't possibly be more obnoxious than he was, Styles says, lying on his back with his feet up against a wall.
No, but at least with him I could threaten legal action,
Derek says. He sounds aggrieved.
These assholes are touching everything. And as dumb as they are, they know how dens work, and they're poking their noses into every nook and cranny. We don't have any secret rooms, assholes!
He shouts at them, taking the phone away from his mouth for a few moments.
Unless you count the armory, Styles says.
That's not a secret. It's just really thoroughly locked, Derek says, and then grumps. I had to at least open the door so they could see their shitty offspring wasn't hiding in there.
Styles grins. He knows that Derek doesn't think Phil is shitty, but talking about him that way might discourage Henry and Rose from further exploration.
They're also talking about going over to your dad's place.
Oh, that ought to be fun, Styles says. He's gonna tell them to come back with a fucking warrant. It probably won't help, but it will be entertaining. That is, in fact, exactly what happens. Derek follows the Argents over to the Stalinsky house so he can watch the fireworks on Styles' behalf. Tom Stalinsky answers the door, still in his uniform, because he had been working a late shift. That alone seems to make Henry uncomfortable. Tom leans against the doorframe and looks extremely unimpressed with the pair as they demand to search the premises.
No, he says.
If you're hiding my son in there, you have absolutely no evidence that I'm doing so, Tom says, or anyone else in the pack for that matter. If you try to come in here without permission, I'll have you arrested for breaking and entering. If you go to the house of any other pack member and demand entrance, I'll have you arrested for harassment. Go back to Illinois and contact your local police to file a missing persons report for your son. If they would like to provide you with the proper paperwork to have an actual officer of the law come search my residence, I will be happy to comply. Until then, get off my property.
You can't!
If you don't return to Illinois and file a missing persons report about your son, I'll contact child welfare and notify them that your son has disappeared and you haven't reported it to the police. And let me be the first to tell you that the Department of Child Welfare will be very, very unhappy to hear that. Henry's jaw sags further. They won't believe you. Since Mr. Hale over there has been recording this entire conversation, I'm fairly sure they will. You son of a bitch! If you really want my mother involved, I can call her. But trust me, she won't be impressed with your attitude.
She survived the Holocaust! Erica shouts from where she's spectating. And everyone present has a hard time not bursting into laughter.
Henry and Rose are on the verge of sulking as Chris makes them return to the car and they depart. Erica takes the phone from Derek and says to Stiles,
Is it weird to say that I would totally have sex with your dad?
Yes, Stiles says.
It is very weird, and please don't ever say it again.
I'm just saying, your dad's awesome.
Well, that I agree with,
Stiles says and shakes his head.
Chris can take it from here. You two chill for the night, and I'll see you after my classes tomorrow, okay?
Okay, Erica says, and hands the phone back to Derek, who rolls his eyes and gives Stiles a quiet, love you, and then a louder good night. Stiles is busy studying for an upcoming test he has in his psychology class when his phone rings. It plays the theme to Hawaii 5-0, his father's ringtone, which is really the only reason he answers it.
Yo, what's up?
He asks, absently highlighting a line in his textbook.
Got some news, his father says, in a cautious tone. And you won't like it.
Great, Stiles says with a sigh, pushing the textbook away.
Okay, lay it on me.
You know that Wendigo family on the north side of town?
The Walcotts?
Yeah, I remember them. Stiles says. He hadn't been thrilled with the idea of a family of cannibalistic shapeshifters living in his territory, but they had been there since long before he became the Alpha. Besides, if they could control their hunger, he really couldn't say much about them.
What about them?
Well, they were killed, Tom says. Stiles says, which is about as close to eloquence as he's going to come.
Any idea what happened? You said killed, not dead, so I assume you have evidence of foul play?
Yeah, it's definitely hunter-related. Chris went over all of it with me. He said there's some kind of special blade. It's not important.
For Christ's sake, Stiles says. Henry and Rose don't get their way, so they start murdering people? Are you fucking kidding me?
Tom sighs. As much as I wish it was that easy, and believe me, I do wish that, Henry and Rose have a rock-solid alibi.
How rock-solid?
Stiles grumbles. Extremely. They were in a holding cell.
Oh.
Stiles considers this.
Tried to break into the house, did they?
Actually, they tried to accost Jake on his way home from school. Tom keeps talking over the outraged noise that Stiles makes. Chris knew it would be suspicious if they somehow found out Jake wasn't in school, so he kept going. Chris had warned Henry not to try to talk to him, but of course he did, laid in wait outside the school. Jake did exactly what we had told him to do, texted me, and kept his dad talking until someone could get over there and have him arrested.
I take it that they're out now?
I let them sweat it out for their 24 hours in holding, which gave me enough time to contact the Peoria PD and let them know that Phil had run away from home and that his parents had decided to come here and harass the son that had been removed from their house due to domestic violence. They were very interested. They told Henry that if he wasn't back in Peoria within the next 24 hours, they'd issue a warrant for his arrest.
Cool, Stiles says. Think they'll listen?
Well, Chris drove them to the airport yesterday, so I think that they're gone. But we're not letting our guard down. Tom gives another sigh and says, Back to the point. Since we know it wasn't Henry and Rose,
Chris says he thinks it was Stella Jones. She's the closest, borders us on the north. We know she's been straying from her territory because she stepped on Aronson's toes a bunch of times. If he told her to step off, she might have come looking down here. Not that we have any proof of this, but it's a pretty sound theory.
Okay. Styles rakes a hand through his hair. Okay, I've got this test tomorrow, but I'll come straight home after that. I can be there by...
Styles, you don't need to do that. Tom says, let Chris and I handle this.
I can't just sit by while hunters kill people on my territory.
You remember the deal we made? Tom asks, and Styles falls silent. Because he does. It's not an argument he's going to forget anytime soon. Tom chooses to reiterate it anyway. I promised that I wouldn't hide things from you like I did with Jennifer Blake, and you promised that you would trust my judgment to when you needed to come back to Beacon Hills. It's one incident. We have a likely suspect. Give Chris and I a few days to see how things shake out, okay?
Okay, fine, Styles says with another sigh. Just keep me posted, okay?
Will do, Tom says. Chris has been on the phone shouting at people all evening. He's extremely pissed off at Stella. Apparently, they had made some sort of bargain that if we were able to get rid of Eli Whittaker without needing her help, which we did, then she would back him up on the whole not murdering werewolves out of hand thing.
And she has, of course, done exactly the opposite, Styles says.
Yeah, and he was willing to overlook that as long as she only did it on her own territory. But now she's apparently going to start spreading the wealth. Chris said he might meet up with Aronson and then go to Oregon. But yes, if he does that, I will call you and you can come home so Beacon Hills isn't completely unguarded.
Thanks, Dad, Styles says.
You're welcome. You go study.
Okay, will do. Love you, bye,
Styles says, and waits for his father to echo the words before he hangs up. He chews on his lower lip for a minute, looking at his textbook without really seeing it. It's not just the hunters he's worried about. He trusts that Chris is capable of going up to Oregon and beating the shit out of Stella Jones, with or without Mikhail's help. But any sign of vulnerability can result in other supernatural creatures horning in, trying to snatch his territory out from underneath him. As much as he's worked to get better acceptance of the idea of not murdering supernatural creatures sight unseen, he has to admit that a lot of them are quite nasty. There are plenty who would happily take advantage of Styles being distracted by the turmoil in the hunter world. It's barely a month into the semester. He doesn't know how this is all going to play out in the long term, but it bodes poorly for his grades. After a minute to think it over, he sighs and knuckles down over his textbook. He might as well get the studying done while he can. No, Styles, I'm fine, Jake says, for easily the fifth time. It wasn't a big deal. He has a rather uncharitable feeling that Styles is hoping that Jake is upset, so he can use that as an excuse to come back to Beacon Hills, which is where he wants to be. But he's really not upset. It's funny how things change over time, he muses as he stares upwards and watches his ceiling fan lazily twirl. 2 years previous, his parents accosting him as he walked home from school would have been one of his worst nightmares. Now, more than anything, he just feels unimpressed. He supposes his parents are good hunters. They've kept hold of a large territory, but they don't have any power over him anymore. Okay, well, if you want me to come pistol whip them or something, you just say the word, Styles says. They're already on a plane back to Illinois, Jake reminds him. I could fly to Illinois to pistol whip them, Styles says. That's really not necessary. Jake sees Phil peering in his doorway and sits up. Hey, I've gotta go. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Yeah, okay, Styles says, seeming a little reluctant to hang up, but he does without complaint.
Jake gestures to Phil to come in. Hey, what's up? Were you talking to him? To Styles?
Phil asks, and Jake nods. Phil hesitates, shifting from foot to foot, then asks,
What about?
He called to check on me. I guess either his dad or Uncle Chris told him about the way that Dad had tried to corner me on the way home from school, and he was worried about me. Phil sits down on the edge of the bed.
He's not anything like the way Mom and Dad described him.
I'm not sure I want to know what Mom and Dad said about him, Jake says with a sigh. And I'm not going to say he's some kind of angel. I mean, I don't know that anybody is. Styles can be pretty nasty when he's acting to protect his pack and his territory. But he doesn't go out of his way to be mean, you know? He tries to take care of people. I mean, that's why Mom and Dad hate him so much. Everything he did back then, he did it to help me.
I'm sorry that they were always so mean to you, Phil says.
Don't be, Jake says. You don't have anything to apologize for, okay, buddy? None of what they did is your fault. He reaches out and tussles his little brother's hair.
I don't really get why they were like that, Phil says.
Jake shrugs a little. I think there's a lot of family history and stuff that we're missing out on. Like, Gerard was kind of a big shot in the family, but I think there was some tension and rivalry there. I think Dad was under a lot of pressure to succeed, and he did really well, but maybe it just wasn't enough for him? He doesn't say the rest of what he's thinking. He knows that a lot of the problems his parents had stemmed from the fact that he isn't biologically Henry's son. He doesn't know who his father is, and doubts he'll ever find out. What he has figured out over the years is that Henry didn't realize that Jake wasn't his until after Phil was born, and that's why he and Rose stayed together. Henry and Rose were an arranged marriage, he knows. Rose is from a prominent hunting family from Britain, and he suspects that Rose never really wanted to marry Henry and had no qualms about cheating on him. Rose obviously figured that Henry would never figure it out, but when Jake had done poorly at every hunting test they put him to, Henry had started to suspect. He gets his curly hair and his myopia from somewhere, and it isn't Rose or Henry. But he doubts that Phil knows any of this, and doesn't really want to talk about it with his little brother. So instead he says, You know Mom and Dad were an arranged marriage, right? Phil nods.
Yeah, they were arranging one for me, too.
Jake chokes. You're 12!
Yeah, but they said Jim Stoddard's daughter is the same age as me. But I guess it wasn't working out for some reason.
Jake can easily see what that reason was. Henry Argent has taken a hit in the reputation category lately, and the Stoddard family is old and prominent. They probably told Henry that their daughter was too good for his son, which could explain a lot about why they'd suddenly decided that Phil needed to stop acting and buckle down on his hunting duties. Well, anyway, he says, sometimes I think hunting was the only thing Mom and Dad really have in common, so it's really important to them.
That makes sense, Phil says, and it's important to me too, he adds. There was a lot of stuff about it that I liked. I liked learning about nature and how to read tracks, and I was good at fighting. I was in karate and jiu-jitsu, and I really enjoyed all that stuff. I liked the idea of helping people. But can't I do that and be Peter Pan?
Sure, Jake says. If I have anything to say about it anyway. I mean, look at Aunt Victoria. She's a great hunter, and she goes with Chris on his hunts sometimes. But she is also a really good cook, and she knows how to knit and crochet, and she does a lot of other stuff too. She says it's all about finding balance. Phil looks up at Jake uncertainly.
They'll let me stay, won't they?
We'll figure it out, Jake says. I mean, we're going to have to figure out how to get Mom and Dad to agree to it eventually, but I'm not going to let them ruin your life. He gives his brother a light shoulder punch and says, You stick with me. We'll get it sorted, as Styles says. Now, if you like hunting, then obviously you must be a pro at first-person shooters, right?
Mom and Dad never let me play many video games, Phil says.
Well then, you're obviously going to have to do a lot of work to catch up to me, Jake says, and springs off his bed.
Racy downstairs, he says, and bolts. Phil jumps up after him, elbows past, and beats him by 3 steps.